You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I want to be one person who really has it together. Life is too short for anything else.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we turn to God in prayer, let us remember His seeking love for all men. Thanks be to You, Heavenly Father, for Your steadfast love and mercy to us, Your wayward children. Empower us through the gift of the Holy Spirit to remain in right relationship with You, so that we may serve You in all that we think, say, and do. May the sacrifice of Your Son and the love He came to give move us to live each day as Your faithful ones. Cause us to see the opportunities to function as Your representatives in the world, as signs of Your complete care and love for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we are beginning a 3-sermon series with the overall theme, Man in Right Relationships. The relationships we shall discuss are to God, to self, and to others. As we talk about our right relationship to God today, it may seem to be a bit abstract to you at first, but stay with us, because I'm certain that you will find it not only interesting, but very applicable to your daily life. I must admit, first of all, that I have not always had a deep appreciation of what God's Word meant when it said, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. What does it mean to you to be made in God's image? I'm sure that if we ask all of you listening today to take a few moments and write down on a piece of paper what this means to you, and then have you send it to us, we would have a multitude of answers. Many would probably feel that this means that we look a little like God. Some, I'm sure, would contain answers learned in their Christian education, such as, man knew God and was perfectly happy, or man was perfectly holy and blessed. Certainly these and many others are biblically sound and very good. In giving these answers, however, we would not really have made use of the basic doctrine of the creation of people as it is described in Holy Scripture. You see, to be made in the image of God has much more to do with a right relationship to Him than it does with appearance or looking like God. To be made in the image of God does not mean that man is in every way like God, but rather that man is precisely what God meant for him to be, namely, under Him and over things. And of course, this included being perfect, holy, righteous, but totally in relationship to God. We are meant to be the crown of God's creation, the special work of His hand, able to respond to the activity of our gracious God with obedience, love, praise, and service. Of all the creatures God made, only human beings were given this ability. The most accurate picture of what it means to be in the image of God is given us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says in his letter to the Christians at Philippi. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It is more than just a coincidence that the Word of God gives us very little upon which to base our ideas of physical appearance. It is significant, however, that the Bible always speaks of the humanity of Jesus in terms of His relationship to His Heavenly Father, to Himself, and relationships to other people. Now, in considering ourselves in this image of God, the first thing any sincere Christian must do is to look at the devastating effects of sin. Scripture makes it absolutely clear that because of sin, the image in which God created us was lost. All the perfection God had placed into us was destroyed. Those first people who sinned by aspiring to become like God not only failed, but lost that which God had intended for them to be, His functioning representatives in the world, who were totally for and with Him. That life was exchanged for what we now know, with all of its alienation and separateness, fear, loneliness, and finally death. That is the lot of all men without the Lord Jesus, absolute hopelessness and no way to change it. All of us would have remained in that state had God not provided the way to be restored. He sent His Son into the world, that the world through Him might be saved. Now, being saved means much more than having forgiveness of sin and heaven as our eternal home. It includes being restored again to that place or that right relationship with God now, not just at some future time. The essential task of using the gift of faith is to believe that we are what God says we are, instead of believing that we are what we might appear to be because of our behavior. To put it most simply, I am righteous and holy before God, not because I behave well or have earned that position in any way, but because God, in Christ Jesus, has declared me to be righteous. I stand before God, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus, which He gives me by faith. The great Apostle Paul puts it this way, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Thus I, in faith, am called upon to see myself as God sees me, not as others see me, or as I might appear to myself when I look at my sins and my failures." This is the very heart, the very center of the Christian gospel. And the truth of it rests squarely upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their sins to them. Right here, of course, is where this old sinful heart, which we all have this side of heaven, needs a big warning. It would just love to take some of the credit for this restoration, this right relationship. That's very dangerous business, and whenever you hear some Christian gloating over their faithfulness or putting someone else down because they are not as faithful as they are, you know they've fallen into that dangerous trap of sinful pride. We'll talk more about that 2 weeks from today. Likewise, it is just as dangerous and devastating to our right relationship to God to believe that we are less than that which God has made us in Christ. One of the truths of being human is that what people believe they are has everything to do with what they ultimately become. The child that is consistently cut down by parents as being one of whom only failure or sin is expected soon believes that he is a failure or no good, and thus becomes more and more just that. When any person is consistently referred to by those around them as being a failure, incompetent, worthless, or whatever, they often begin to become what they believe others think they are. On the other hand, people who are treated and spoken to as though they had great dignity and worth are likely to become greater than they would have become normally. Now, read through the New Testament and listen to how God addresses those restored to right relationship to Him in Christ Jesus. You were like sheep that had lost their way, but now you have been brought back to follow the shepherd and keeper of your souls. And Paul says, we are God's beloved. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Again, Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What a great thing for God to do, to take us, wash us clean in the blood of His Son, who paid the price for all sin, to dress us in His perfectness, and take us to be His beloved, members of the royal family of God. This action, begun in holy baptism, is described by Dr. Luther in this way. The old Adam in us, which is our sinful nature, should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts. And again, a new man daily come forth and arise, who lives before God in righteousness and purity. To remember my sins and to confess them honestly to my God is a necessary part of my right relationship to Him. For then, the cleansing, motivating power of the gospel springs into action and says to me, you are clean. You are my child. You are an heir of salvation. You are my chosen one. You are a royal priest. Many of us are used to saying in our formal or private worship, O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. But we do badly if we remain in that position and that frame of mind after we have His assurance of forgiveness and restoration. We do not live in God's mercy. Rather, we insult our God when we still think that we are dirty after He says we are clean. We do not live in God's mercy, but reject it when we still feel guilty after God says to us that He has removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. It is good for us to see the failures of each day, the needless fears we might have had in taking up God's task, our sins of selfishness, jealousy, misplaced affections, and all the others that are common to men. But we do not stand in right relationship to Him or each other or anything else if we continue to dwell on them or when we use them, often under the pretense of humility, to turn aside from doing what He has commissioned us to do. I don't know who said it first, but there's a statement that has always meant a lot to me that says, God doesn't look at what a person is so much as what, by His grace, that person can become. This side of heaven, of course, we will never see the perfectness or the righteousness in its perfected state. But we need to remember that God remakes people into His image through the gift of His Son and the working of His Holy Spirit during the course of each day. What a price He paid as he sacrificed his son on Calvary's cross. Of what value we must be to him. How he must love us when he sends his Spirit into our hearts to empower us to live for him. Not by my behavior, but by his Spirit. Not by my act of will, but by his gracious gift. Through his powerful word, he restores me. This means that you and I have been called into a very special service relationship. Do you remember the setting on Easter Eve when the fear-filled disciples were huddled behind locked doors for fear of being killed like their master Jesus Christ? Where was their faith? If ever there was a group who should have been disqualified from service because of their behavior, surely it was this group. Then Jesus appears to them. And you would expect him to say, "You are a fine lot. I can't use you, not in my kingdom." But no. "Peace be with you," was his greeting. Sometime I hope that you tell me what you think those words mean. I believe that they mean, be restored to the right relationship with your God. Be whole, be complete, as I intended you to be when I made you and called you into my service. And wonder of wonders, upon saying this, they believed him, and he made them precisely what he said they should be, his servants, his ambassadors of his love to the world. Just exactly what he does for each and every one of us, in the words, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." I don't know what your political leanings are, but if the president stepped into your home today and asked you to take on a special assignment for him, I'm sure you would not only feel very important, but that you would do your best to serve. Friends, out of all the people in the world, God has reached out and touched us with the power of his word. He has called us to be his, and he wants us to serve him in the most joyous, blessed, life-giving task there is in human existence, to function in his image, as his extended hand to the world, bringing his love in Christ to every single person. May he impress this on our hearts today and each day we are given. And may he keep each of us in that right relationship to him, now and forever. Amen.